Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Take your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 5 and verse 14 from the New King James. Paul, before we read this, Paul is dealing with light and dark. He's dealing with sin conditions, and he's calling God's people to come out of that. And he says in verse 14, just one verse, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word if you're able? Let's read it. It'll be on the screen as well. Read it with me, won't you? Ready, set, go. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Father, thank you for what you've done already in this service, what you're going to do now in the moments that remain. Move in ever-increasing power. May we never be the same. May every man, woman, and child be brought low, and you be glorified and magnified. May you write on the fleshly tablets of our heart once again. Anoint these lips of clay as you were so gracious to do in the first service. We pray and ask that you would do it again. And again, that the effects of this service would be far-reaching, even to eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen. Give a big amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you awake? You may be seated. In 2024, Jane Hammond, who was just with us last weekend, just 1 week ago, preached here. She preached in 2024, the previous year. She preached that Alaska was to be an upper room for the nation. Now, that might not make sense to you, so let me make it plain. The upper room refers to the Acts chapter 2 upper room. There's some Old Testament upper rooms as well. In Acts chapter 2, they were there gathered together on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all gathered in one accord. And there came the sound of that which was like a mighty rushing wind. In fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, that it'll come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. I have both, which is evidence of me being middle-aged. So when she said, Alaska will be an upper room for the nation, I understood what that meant. And I hope by God's grace we were faithful to be that upper room, to be a people that prayed and cried out and fasted. And we had ongoing prayer meetings, which we've had for 20 plus years, 20, 22, 23 years here, since 1999, and even before that. We believe in prayer. Prayer is the backbone of everything we do. It's part of the very fabric of who we are as a church. It's not something that we just do on a Friday. We pray all the time. Prayer, I heard one preacher say, if you pray continually, you'll have continual releases of God's power. Prayer is important. Fully God, fully man. Jesus, they say, prayed 6 hours a day. I don't know how they figured that out. I tried to figure that out. I don't know, but it sounds good. We know that he prayed before events. He prayed after events. When he went away onto a mountain to pray, he went when it was yet dark, which is often in the winter in Alaska, but when it was dark, he went away and he prayed. Prayer's key. So we prayed last year. We're going to pray this year, but that was the word of the Lord. This year is different. This year, she said, I'm going to visit you not just with revival, but with what history will call the Great Alaskan Awakening. Nations will come to drink. Winning a nation. Wow. God's raising up reformers. He's raising up miracle workers. Now, in your heart, you might not exactly embrace that or think, well, that's hyperbole. I mean, that's a little extra. In fact, I had somebody say to me, you know, your church is like extra, which is a Gen Z thing for like, you know, you're a little much. And I thought, well, maybe you're a little dead. I didn't say that, but I did think it afterwards. God wants to pour out his spirit. And here's the thing. This is not the first generation that he's done that in or wants to do that in. He wanted to do it in every single generation. And I'm going to take you on a walk, an introductory to this great, the great Alaskan awakening, I'm going to take you on a walk through awakenings, modern day awakenings that have taken place. And by the grace of God, I think I've been a part of two of them. Maybe now three. I do believe we're headed for a great awakening, the golden age of Reformation. I believe America is turning away from wickedness. The other main text we could have used that I didn't, but I'll speak about it most likely at the end, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, he's not talking about the pagans, he's talking about his people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, his people turning from wicked ways. Let me give you a definition of what an awakening is. Awakenings are the moment when God's Spirit moves powerfully among people, leading to repentance, restored relationships with God, and transformed lives. It's a widespread movement of the Holy Spirit that brings individual communities, even nations, to renewed awareness of God's presence and power. There's a number of videos that were out called Transformations 1, 2, and 3. We are in process of getting approval to be able to show those. Going to show them. Thought we might show one tonight, but we're not able to get that's solidified, so perhaps next week we'll see. In the weeks to come, as I preach this series to you, Pastor Karen and I, it's going to release great faith, and we're going to show some of these transformations videos, because what God can do in a community is beyond anything you've ever seen before. But it has happened before, you just might not have seen it. History of modern day awakenings, first great awakening. The very first one, 1730s to 1740s, took place in the American colonies, in Britain as well. Some key figures, Jonathan Edwards. Raise your hand if you ever heard of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, John Wesley. I have the journals of John Wesley. It's like 14 different volumes. I read through them, and they're astounding. What do you mean astounding? Because you're reading about modern day outpourings, and they didn't even believe in the outpouring. Signs and wonders that were absolutely stupendous. I mean, Jonathan Edwards preached one message called Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. Raise your hand if you heard it. It's one of the most famous messages ever preached in the United States of America. The power of God had been sweeping the Eastern seaboard in the 1700s prior to the American Revolution. And there was a particular place where it was a stronghold of the enemy. And they made plans to do an outreach there, and none of the churches would let them, and they just thought they were crazy. He got kicked out of more churches. To my evangelist friends, if you get kicked out of a church, that might not be necessarily a bad thing. He got kicked out of churches. They wouldn't let him preach. That's why he started preaching outside. He preached outside because the religious dead. Come on, Proverbs says, wander out of the way of understanding, rest in the congregation of the dead. There is a congregation that's dead. We never want to be that. Come on, somebody say, I never want to be that. If people aren't getting saved, people aren't getting healed, the word's not being preached, people aren't passionate for God, you don't see God moving in power, then that could be a congregation that's dead, but God can revive it. God can bring a fresh wind. God can bring fresh rain. And he's done that here. He's done that in my life. He'll do it again and again and again. He wants to touch you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to refresh you. He doesn't want you to be dead. He wants you to be alive. Abundant life. Life abundant. Filled with hope. Filled with faith. Raise your hand if you want to be alive in God. Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. He preached. There's testimonies there where people were clinging to the pews on the columns of the church because they felt like the bottom was going to open and they were going to go straight to hell. One of the things, in fact, in all of these awakenings, you'll see certain characteristics of each awakening is different than the previous ones. So the first great awakening, 1730, 1740, Hawaii was touched powerfully by an awakening. Here's a testimony of Reverend Stephen Williams, Longmeadow, Massachusetts, recorded numerous instances of revival in his diaries. He described intense emotional responses to sermons, with congregants expressing deep remorse for their sins and experiencing the transforming power of God in their life. In other words, they would come in, people that were like the town drunk would come in, get radically transformed, and no longer drink and become the town preacher. I mean, unexplainable events. Is that possible to happen again? It is, and it does. 40 years of a back injury with our brother Dave doesn't have a back problem anymore. It doesn't matter what you came in here with. God can set you free and use you to share the good news with somebody else. That is his method. My life has been marked. Ooh, my life's... Sorry, I just had to let out a woo for a second. I've been changed. And it wasn't some cute little teaching in a mocha that changed me. It was the power of God, the power of preaching and demonstration with people living this real Christian life out loud, denying themselves, picking up their cross, following him, filled with joy, filled with hope, filled with faith, signs and wonders and miracles. That's what we cut our teeth on. That is who we are. And we make no apologies for it. Wow, they did this, what's called extemporaneous preaching. It's kind of what I'm doing right now. In other words, it wasn't just come. Turn with me to Isaiah. In Isaiah 9, no fire, no passion, no zeal. That's not the way they preached. They would preach and they would work themselves up. One man said it was on the way to an outside meetings were something they didn't do. That was not something they did. In fact, the mainline denominational churches rejected outside preaching. But the people who didn't go to church, they thought it was awesome. And they would come, thousands of people, no microphone, thousands. And they would get up on hills. Thousands of people would come. And they would gather from all over the town, and they would, some people would ride a whole day's journey on a horse to get to hear some of these men preach. And on the way to one of the meetings, this Christian man knew his neighbor was an atheist. He said, "Why are you going? You don't believe in God." He says, "No, I don't. But he does, and I like to watch him burn." So an atheist came to watch, I think it was Jonathan Edwards, burn. The Second Great Awakening in 1790s to 1830s, some key figures. Charles Finney. Anybody heard of Charles Finney? Charles Finney was studying to be a lawyer. And in the process of studying the Word of God, which is the way they used to train lawyers, maybe they should go back to that. Be healed. He came to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He had friends that were clergymen. And he tried to have fellowship with them, but he could not understand why they had no joy, no passion, no fire, no zeal. So he stopped having fellowship with what he perceived to be dead religion. And you can go and read the stories of Charles Finney. He started praying, and there was another brother that would always go with him and go into the woods and pray until power and fire came down. You know, look at characteristics of what actually brings an awakening to a community. Prayer is one of them. You might have picked up on that as I've been moving along. But these are some of the modern day awakenings that have taken place. Again, Charles Finney, a leading figure. When he would preach, many times people would be overwhelmed by God's power and presence. John Cartwright, I didn't talk about him in the first service, but I'll talk about him now. Part of the shouting Methodists. The Methodists, this might offend you, but I'll stand before God for it. The Methodists, by and large, are apostate. They have departed from the faith. Now, are those that departed from the mainline denominational Methodist church? But they started endorsing and allowing LGBTQ+ to be pastors. It is a biblically abhorrent to the Lord, and we love people. We love people. So if you struggle with that, we can help you. You can get set free. You can come to the front. I'll probably end up telling a story about that here in a little bit, but you can't endorse what God says is wrong. And there's a whole culture that's moving to just dead moral relativism. And it's grievous, and there's no miracles there. There's nothing but bondage. But the Methodists, you go look at their logo even today, it's got a cross with this flame of fire. The flame of fire is a picture of the Holy Ghost. And they had these shouting Methodists, the Cane Ridge River Revival. Anybody ever heard of that? Raise your hand if you ever heard of that. Great outpouring in a place called Cane Ridge River. It was another community that wasn't really touched by the Second Great Awakening all that much. And they had these meetings where they gathered and people came. I think it's 20,000 people came. We're talking horse and carriage kind of thing. They came from all over, 20,000 people. I mean, if 20,000 people showed up this morning, we'd be like, whoa, where would you park all the cars? 20,000 people traveled for like a week to get there. And there was all this mud and challenges. I mean, where do you 20,000 people go to the bathroom? We're not talking about modern plumbing and stuff. I mean, it's just crazy. And the power of God came down and thousands got saved. Thousands. This is part of the history of the United States of America. This nation was founded on the Word of God. These are some of the awakenings, and I believe we're headed towards another one. Francis Asbury, he documented cases where people, radical healings, even the dead were raised. All kinds of divine intervention. The third awakening took place in 1850 to the 1900s. D.L. Moody, anybody heard of D.L. Moody? D.L. Moody was one of the preachers, William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, Hudson Taylor, China Inland Mission. Characteristics of that, all these evangelistic campaigns, great emphasis on missions, people getting saved, social justice, urban ministry, city ministry really exploded at that time, and practical Christianity, like living for God practically. The Welsh Revival in 1904 to 1905. Now, there was some reference at the Power Conference about these two sisters, the Smith sisters. One was 82, the other one was 84. And they prayed for revival in Wales. And God brought a revival, brought a young man, young evangelist by the name of Evan Roberts. Emphasis on holiness, repentance, and the power of the Holy Spirit. It is said that they had a particular Bible that was belonged to the mother of President Donald Trump that doesn't really line up with President Donald Trump's Bible now, at least the one that's talked about. It was given to him in the 1950s in Queens. Him being related to these, that lines up, though. These Smith sisters, and think they're great aunts or something. God poured out his spirit in the Hebrides. No, it was crazy. Crazy things like they couldn't lift their pints of ale off the bar. They would come under such... Can you imagine if over at the Mugshot or whatever that place is over there, some of you were there last week, last night maybe. Can you imagine at the Mugshot that the power of God comes down so heavy that you can't even hold on to your drink anymore and then you just hit the floor? John Cartwright would ride into towns and would preach the gospel. It is recorded that he went to a square dance once. And as he was at the square dance, some lady wanted to dance with him. He said, no. And he went and he stood in the middle of the square dance while the caller's calling and they're square dancing, whatever that looks like. And he cried out, oh God, send your fire! And they all began to fall out. Thud, 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 thud. People falling on the ground in repentance. But that never happened. You're not 90 years old yet. What? And you haven't even really looked into it. Don't just shake it off. I'm telling you, God wants to bring an awakening. And there are things that happen in the midst of awakenings that are dramatic. We don't seek those things to happen. We seek the one. We seek the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and preach the gospel, and then you find backs being healed. And we do lay hands on the sick. It's a biblical thing. And he said, well, I don't know. I don't want to go there. Nobody fell. Falling is not, I've seen people fall and still be like I was going to use a King James for a donkey. I've seen people fall out and then just still get up and they're still a jerk. I'm talking about the power of God touching people, changing people from the inside out, and it's a process. How many of you are not as much of a jerk as you used to be? People in the Welsh Revival, they had fishermen in the boats, They say that God's power came so tangibly and real that they would fall on the deck of their boats while fishing. Can you imagine if that happened in the Bristol Bay? Everybody's slamming each other, and all of a sudden, nobody's boat's operating, and they're all on the floor weeping and crying out to God. There are things like that that have happened in the Old Testament. Things like that have happened in the New Testament. Things like that have happened in modern history. There are awakenings. Come on, somebody say there's an awakening. Azusa Street, 1906 to 1915. Emphasis on the baptism of the Holy Ghost was the birth of the Pentecostal, modern-day Pentecostal movement. Church of God birthed out of that. Assembly of God came out of that, which we are affiliated. Everybody say affiliated. We align with their 16 fundamental truths. We're a spirit-filled church. That all started at Azusa Street. Of course, it started in the upper room before that. Multi-ethnic gatherings, pardon me. Before that, there wasn't a lot of multi-ethnic gatherings. I told the story of the first service. I'll tell it again. Man from North Carolina, he was a bishop. He was over a number of churches, came for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, came to Azusa Street, goes to Azusa Street, sits through 3 weeks of meetings. Every day they would meet. And for 3 weeks, he doesn't get the baptism of the Spirit. And he said to the Lord, I want the baptism of the Spirit, but I'm not having that black man lay hands on me. So you're going to have to give it to me some other way. Well, he just sat there day after day, week after week. Imagine that. And he was getting desperate. And he said, Lord, and the Lord says, until you have that black man lay hands on you, you're getting nothing. And he dealt with this racist heart. He broke. He repented. He came to the front. William Seymour laid hands on him. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost. There's hundreds of churches throughout that part of our nation because that man was filled with the Spirit. You know, it's one thing to say that it's the move of the Spirit of God is some theological thing. It is a theological truth. But until you really see the fruit of being baptized in fire, it changes everything. I've got to, since you don't have notes, and I'm glad you don't, and there's some things on the screen that maybe we'll get to. I was in Talkeetna at that Denali Resort, wherever it was. We were taking pictures of Denali. It was like the one in 10 days of the year that it's clear. And we're taking pictures, and there's a couple. And I'm like, I'm just going to go witness to them. So I went over to tell them about Jesus. Well, I didn't know that they were talking to each other to come witness to us. I guess we all look like pagans to each other. I don't know. So I went to take a picture of them, and I started witnessing, and they laughed. They said, we're missionaries. I said, oh, fantastic. Tell me where you're missionaries. And so I can't tell you where there are missionaries, but it's in a place where you're not allowed to go and be a missionary unless you'd like to get killed. So we ended up talking. The Lord speaks to me and says, invite him to preach in the church Sunday night. I'm like, oh, Lord, I live in, like, Lord, invite him. So I invite him. He said, oh, I'd love to, which made me nervous. I don't just invite people who we don't know who they are. But I know I heard from God, and I obeyed. Miraculously, I obeyed. He came. How many of you are in that service? He came. He brought yak butter, all that stuff. How many? Raise your hand if you were in that service. It's 100 years ago. At least 16 years ago. So he brought slides, and everybody served yak butter and yak milk and, you know, traditional missionary. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Traditional missionary thing. And he's just kind of lingering, and everybody's sort of leaving our old building, Lucille Street, and he finally says to me, there's nobody there. There's just me and him. He says, okay, I want what you have. I'm like, what do you mean? He says, you know what I mean. I want it. I'm like, all right. I knew what he meant. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. And I said, you know what? Let's go up to my office. We went up to my office, and we come to the office. I said, okay, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to lay hands on you. God's going to fill you. You're going to get a prayer language, and your life's going to be forever changed. He's like, all right. He's like, I'm going to get on my knees. I said, good plan. So he gets on his knees. He literally is on his knees. There he is. And he's like, okay, go. I said, well, I'm not. Let me just pray for a second. So I start praying. I start worshiping. I'm praying. The power of heaven hits me. I'm talking like I grabbed onto the two ends of a battery, you know? I mean, like I'm really impacted. And I go and I lay hands on him and I turn loose and impart everything I have. Plus, it's like wringing out a washcloth. I gave him everything I had. And at the end of that, he's like, yeah, I don't know. Nothing happened. I'm like, what? I play dance again. Yeah, I just don't want to fake it. I'm like, I don't want you to fake it either. He goes, yeah, I don't know. He stands up. I'm like, wow, I had one of the great touches of my life. Nothing happened to him. I'm like, okay. So I take every Holy Ghost baptism spirit-filled book off of my bookshelf, literally hand him a stack of books. I said, read all these. Keep going after God. Well, he drives off and I never hear from him again. Well, I saw him like 5 years later, except it's not the same guy. It looks like somebody plugged him into 223 phase. He's like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, oh, good. He's like, oh, I should tell you what happened. I'm like, okay, tell me what happened. He's like, you know when you prayed for me? I'm like, dude, I was driving home to Anchorage, and all of a sudden, God's power came on me, and I began to pray in other tongues. Overwhelmed me. By the time I got back to my house, I was in another place. I walked in and I woke my wife up. She took one look at me and said, oh, thank God. Pray for me. And she lifted her hands. He prayed for his wife. His wife got filled with the Spirit. Listen, you can't make this stuff up. He had been over in that country that I can't tell you about for 5 years with one convert, just one. God bless his faithful pea-picking heart. He goes back. And he tells me she got filled. I'm like, dude, why didn't you call me? He's like, you're a jerk. No, I didn't say that. But I mean, like, dude, seriously, call the guy. Encourage him. He goes back to that place and he meets the landlord. The landlord had a bad leg for years and had some disease. And when he saw the landlord, he thought, I should lay hands on him and pray like they do at that church. So he said, can I pray for it? God says, yeah. Lays hands on him. Power God hits the landlord. His leg gets completely healed. And he gets gloriously changed and gives his life to Jesus. That started a tidal wave of salvation all over the nation. They started planting. I really want to be vague because they can get in trouble. In fact, they eventually got kicked out of the nation, but the seed that they sowed there is still intact. They planted all these businesses all over, and thousands of people got saved. Now, how is it that he was there serving? It's an awakening that took place. God wants to set you on fire. He wants to release his power to you. You don't have to settle for lame duck Christianity. Outpourings take place. Charismatic renewal. I'm back in the back in my notes. You don't have any. It's on the screen. Charismatic renewal, 1950s, 1970s. Dennis Bennett, Oral Roberts, any heard of him? David Duplessis, ever heard of him? These are forerunners. And these are modern day awakenings. Somebody said, well, the charismatic renewal is not an awakening. Well, it could be considered that. The Jesus movement, 1960s, 1970s. I was raised in Long Island, New York, and we had some Jesus people come to our playground at recess at school. And the guy came with his giant Bible. There's three people in tie-dyes, long hair, and they were the kind of people that mom said, stay away from. Stranger danger. And so the guy comes up, he's like, hey, man. Hey. I'm like, And I was with my other friend, and I think he evaporated. But then they're looking at him. He says, Jesus loves you, man. Has anybody ever told you Jesus loves you? I'm like, no. I'm a Catholic. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Are you? I'm a Catholic. People use that for defense. It doesn't work. If somebody says that to me, I know they don't go. They go to Christmas and Easter. I'm going after them. Most Catholics aren't born again. But at the charismatic renewal, you had charismatic Catholics. Notre Dame, the outpouring in Notre Dame and the Catholic Church, the power of God hit. How many of you heard about that? Awakenings have taken place in history. We are recipients of a prophetic word that, honestly, God called me here for that. That is why I'm here. I'm not here for a job. I'd have quit a long time ago if that was the case. I came because of a call to awakening. Jesus Movement. Calvary Chapels were big there. Chuck Smith, Lonnie Frisbee, Vineyard Churches planted out of that. Calvary Chapel was built on a move of the Spirit of God, but after Lonnie Frisbee did his thing, and that didn't always end well, it went down to just teaching and not so much miracles, or the miracles would take place. Raise your hand if you heard of Chuck Smith and Calvary Chapel. God bless them. They've done a great job. Thousands of people being baptized in the ocean in California. It was a bit of an awakening. It's a Jesus Movement. Jesus People in Chicago. The Toronto Blessing, 1994 to the 2000s. John and Carol Arnott. Randy Clark. You ever heard of Randy Clark? John and Carol Arnott. An outpouring that took place there. The Toronto Blessing. They had all kinds of crazy things that happened. People would shake. People would laugh. It's amazing how many people got upset by people laughing. We just got bent out of shape because people have joy. I sing because I'm happy. It's okay to be happy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. It's okay. Lift your hand. Some of you just not happy. You say, may God fill you with joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Like, no, I'm just not my personality. I remember the outpouring that took place at King's. And it could be perceived as an awakening. Maui, Hawaii, 1995. I came in on a Monday. I was a part of a discipleship group. And on that Monday, they played a video where the sound of heaven came down in this meeting in Lakewood, Florida. Carpenter's Home Church. It's the night when angels sang. Was anybody in that meeting that was here? Were you in the Monday meeting, but at the Carpenter's Home Church. You were there. Come here, Mayor Edna. You were actually at the Carpenter's Home Church the night that angels sang. So I want to hear. I want to hear. What do you want to sit? I want to hear what that was like.
It was just this sound that just filled that. Carpenter's Home was a huge church at that time.
10,000 people.
Yeah, and we were up in the balcony, and Debbie was down on the floor with the pastors, and it was just heaven. It's like what heaven's going to be like, you guys.
So here I am. Thank you, Mayor Edna, for your kind words. So here I am in this meeting where they show a video. It's not the actual meeting. It's a video of the meeting. I mean, they brought out a VHS. Anybody remember VHS? They brought out VHS, and they set up a projector in the middle of the floor, and they projected it onto a big screen because they didn't have all LEDs and everything like that. And they showed this video. But when they began to show it, it was like, oh my gosh, it changed me. Heaven came down. It's the sound of heaven. You want to know what heaven sounds like? It's very rare that I can get the congregation to join in with heaven. Very rare. Because you have cell phones and you're texting and you're not paying attention. Not hungry, not thirsty, not desperate. But if you can get a group of people, it doesn't even have to be everybody. There's a critical mass, it seems, where people just begin to lift their voice and worship him and with all their heart, with all their mind, soul, and strength, then something happens where it's like heaven sort of sinks up and heaven joins in or something. And that happened that night, on that Monday night in January 1995, and I heard angels and the sound of innumerable, and I was completely undone. Heaven became real to me. I think I was telling Dr. Gannon, nearly every service, I long for that to happen again. The man next to me, his name was James, he was holding on to my shoulder. I was standing on a chair. I don't know how that happened. He's standing on a chair, he's holding onto my shoulder, and he went to hell that night. Couldn't talk for over 24 hours. See, it's one thing to hear stories like this, and then you look and it's like no real fruit, nobody gets saved, nothing, no kingdoms expanded. It's another thing to see a church like ours that had a handful of extensions at that time, and now we have 670 extensions, and nearly every single person that was in that meeting is serving God full time, full blast, just explosion. When you see the fruit, you'll know them by their fruit. So awakenings release fruit, power. These are real stories. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place and just tell them how much you love them. I'm not going to go much longer unless, of course, I do. Come on. Come on, just thank him. Thank you. Thank you. I remember you, Dr. Gannon. You became another man. And honestly, I was so filled with hopelessness. It's one of the reasons I love you, and you're one of my very best friends. I was so filled with hopelessness. I was trying to make my way out of a deep, dark place. And in the meetings thereafter, I heard you testify. And when I heard you testify, now you've heard me say this, so you're not going to get offended. Repeat after me, I will not be offended. Okay. I remember specifically on the platform on the right-hand side, he got up to testify, and I saw the transformation in him, and he shared his testimony. And when he shared his testimony, I thought, God, if you did it for him, you could do it for me. And God did. I'm telling you, there's an awakening heading for Alaska. It's not business as usual, church as usual is over. O-V-E-R, dead Pharisaical religion, never set anybody free, never healed any marriage. Principles of the word work, yes, but there's a freedom and a power and a healing divine, and America needs an awakening. The great Alaskan awakening, Toronto blessing. Other notable revivals, let me quickly move now. Moravian revival in 1727 under Count Zinzendorf. So powerful were those meetings that they started the 24-hour-a-day prayer meeting 7 days a week for 100 years. For 100 years. They started with 24 men and 24 women, and it went around the clock, and it went 7 days for 100 years in Herrnhut, Germany. People still go there. The Moravians, you ever heard of them? That's why there's so many churches all over Alaska, because that prayer meeting fueled evangelism, and they went all over the world. They're some of the greatest missionaries of Moravian church, although some have wandered out of the way of understanding, and that's all I'll say about that. But there's a group of Moravians that are on fire too. In every denomination, every move of God, there's always things that have issues. There's always challenges. Hebrides revival, I talked about that already. The text I read to you in Ephesians 5 is, again, Paul's talking about walking in love in verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians 5, rejecting sin and darkness in Ephesians 5, 3 through 7, walking as children of the light, verses 8 through 13, just to give you context. Written 60 to 62 AD in Rome. And the Ephesian believers was a society that was filled with all kinds of problems and issues, not unlike ours. I think we would relate more to the Corinthian church. If you're going to really defile somebody in biblical days, you would say, oh, they got Corinthianized. That's the way America is, but it's turning. I said it's turning. Paul calls them to wake up. It's using sleep as a metaphor for death. And you'll see it, in fact, in Romans 13:11, Paul says, now it's high time to wake awake out of sleep. He's talking to Rome. That's what time it is for Alaska. That's what time it is for you. That's what time it is for me, to wake up out of the slumber and be on fire. Awake, O sleeper. Arise to awaken, an awakening. Come on. That's what America needs. Oh, that's what the villages need. Rise, this phrase, from the dead. Again, a metaphor, those in sin are literally dead. They're not just asleep, they're dead. A lifestyle of spiritual death. Christ will give you light. It reminds me of Isaiah 60 and verse 1. I'll read it to you. Arise and shine, for your light has come. I say this to you, that God wants to bring an awakening, and it'll be like the lights being turned on. It'll be like the sun shining in your face. You know that time of the year when it finally, the earth finally turns and it comes through that one window of your house and it's just this beam of light and you're like, kids! My first year, I said, Karen! Hannah, Daniel, family meeting! I lined them all up in the shaft of light coming through. We felt like we were dead. It was just bringing us life. Rise and shine. All right, let me give this to you quickly. Key elements that characterize biblical awakenings. A, prayer. First one, prayer. 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 If you pray continually, have continued releases of God's power, every awakening, every revival, Old Testament, New Testament, modern day, all starts in prayer. Number two, passion for God's word. Passion for what? Passion for God's word. I was so encouraged about Pastor Karen leading that Thursday group with women at 10 a.m. And I'm so encouraged about people reading the word, getting in the word, learning the word. It's not just having goosebumps. One of the problems with Pentecostal churches across the land is they're big on the Shondai and the Shakinaw, but big on the gifts of the Spirit, low on we're learning the word. You know what I love about Kings? We believe in the move of the Spirit of God. I mean, we have a greater and greater one, but we also will teach and preach you the word. That's why I'm giving you an overview of awakenings. I lightly taught you Ephesians 5, verse 14. Very light. Many times it's expository preaching with a thematic approach. We're going to look at prayer. We're going to look at having a hunger for God's word. I'm going to preach messages to you. Pastor Karen, we're going to preach messages to you. Why? Because we want to have the same characteristics of awakenings at other times and biblically so that we could see it here. If you don't have a prayer movement, you're not having an awakening. You don't have a hunger for God's word, then you're going to get deformed. If all you do is have the word, you're going to dry up. If all you do is have the Spirit, you'll blow up. You need both to grow up. Absolutely. There's bold proclamation of the gospel. We're going to do outreaches. We are doing that. We will continue to do it. Bold. Every awakening, there's a boldness. The hippie movement, those people couldn't stop talking about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus loves you. Jesus. Can you just try start doing that? And you say, well, I'm not really into witnessing. Well, we'll get into it. It's part of your faith. It's a pillar of your faith. You should share your faith. Somebody said, do you guys always have to share your faith? Yes, it's against my religion not to. I share my faith. And sharing my faith when I've been on vacation, it's not something I do because I'm a pastor. It's something I do because I'm a believer. I can't help but tell people about what Jesus has done for me. I can't help myself. That's the way it should be. It should be like, man, you just got to, hey, I want to introduce my best friend. Who's that? Jesus. And do it whatever way you have. I mean, learn the Romans road. Learn bold proclamation of the gospel. Transformed lives. Transformed lives means transformed communities. If you don't have transformed lives, your community's not going to get changed. I mean, the borough mayor is born again and starts like being overwhelmed with God's presence, starts talking about something that happened 30 years ago. Why is that? Because God is real. His power is real. When God changes you, your family's changed. When men get changed, they become better fathers. They become better husbands. When children get changed and touched, they'll become like Pastor Josh and Pastor Shannon, 13. Lived holy, righteous, because God was so much bigger than all the perversion of the world all around them. They said, oh no. I heard heaven. I've been touched by God. Oh, no, oh, no. Yeah, that has no allure for me. I'm going to live for God. If you have children, you need to get them in church services. I mean, they're experiencing that over there. I'm preaching long, but I'm trying to get through to you. Transformed lives. Raise your hand if you want to have a transformed life. You know what I've found? I've been transformed, and I know that He brings you from glory to glory. I'm looking for another level of transformation. Can you say amen? Awakenings are marked by a spiritual hunger. I do remember coming back from those meetings all those years ago and couldn't wait to open my Bible and read it. Do you feel that way? If you don't, Jesus is not the one that moved. If you're not hungry to read the Word, don't receive condemnation. Just take a good look. If you're not hungry, you're not living right for God. Well, why is that? There has to come a greater revelation than sin. You say, but I know, but I like that sin. I like it. Yeah, sin has pleasure for a season, but at the end, it reaps a harvest of death. Gotta have have keys, please. You gotta have a paradigm shift. What does that mean, paradigm shift? The lighthouse, it's in on the edge of the coast, and the destroyer communicates to the lighthouse, you better move, we're on course, you know, turn left, how many degrees? And the lighthouse says, yeah, no, you should move. We're a destroyer. We're a United States destroyer. If you don't move, we're going to destroy you. Yeah, I'm a lighthouse. Paradigm shift. Destroyer's like, we'll move. You have to have a shift to serving God. It's like hard and difficult. No. Hard is the way of the transgressor. This is life and life abundant, life to the full. But many people have not experienced an awakening. They have not. I'm going to close in a moment. And as we do, you get right with God. Let me say this. Awakenings often comes in times of spiritual decline or moral crisis. We have that. We have that. In Alaska. We have people on drugs, people on meds, people messed up, jacked up, tore up from the floor up. We have all kinds of people in bondage and drug addiction. Oh, yeah, in the church. Yeah. I'm glad you're here, if that's you, so you can get set free. Smoking weed will never get you free. I know you can claim it's legal and all that, but intoxication is the issue. Getting drunk will never get you free. Getting high will never get you free. There's something far greater than getting drunk or high. Something far greater. You say, I don't have that in my life. Okay, maybe not, but you have that lust problem and your porn problem. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm just saying it generally, just porn, your porn addiction. You have that rage problem, that control problem. You're a workaholic. You work yourself money. They're all bondages. Now, I don't know for sure, but the brother that gave the BMW today, I sensed that it had become maybe an idol for him. He didn't say that, but he says, I was polishing the greatest thing I owned, and the Lord said, let it go. Some of you need to let go some stuff. I'm not telling you to give your car. I'm telling you to get rid of your sin. I'm telling you, get rid of your idolatry. Get rid of that stuff. Get rid of your lust. Get rid of your greed. Get rid of your anger. Get rid of your porn. Get rid of your weed. Get rid of your pills. Get rid of stuff. Get rid of it. Serve God. He'll satisfy you. He'll fill you. He'll touch you. He'll help you. He'll heal you. He'll heal your marriage. He'll heal your kids. Get hungry for God. One more thing. Outpourings created, released by prayer, then releases boldness, and boldness releases revival, releases awakening. Welcome to the great Alaskan awakening. Although it's at its infancy, yeah, go ahead. Although it's at its infancy, I believe it'll grow. Why? Because you're going to grow. I'm going to grow. We're going to grow. We're going to pray. We're going to get hungry for God's word. We're going to get hungry for the things of the Spirit of God. We're going to reach out. Come on, bring somebody. Do you know the church can double 1 week? All that has to happen is that you set your heart, you set your faith at bringing somebody here. Bring somebody here next week. And we have more chairs. We'll pull them out. And they're right, Dr. David. We'll pull them out. We'll even close up all in here. We'll add other services. I'll preach 7 times a week. Well, we could have day and night services. Why don't you have them? Because it just doesn't seem the need's there just yet, but maybe it's coming. We're headed for the great Alaskan outpouring. Would you bow your heads all across this place? If you're not right with God, don't leave this place in that condition. Give your heart to Jesus. We close almost every service with an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus. You know why? It started with D.L. Moody. That was an awakening in America. He had the great Chicago fire. And after that, he always gave altar calls to get right with God. And he said, I do that because I grieve that I do not know how it was with my congregation in the Chicago fire. So many died, and I don't know how it was with them. So that's when he started doing altar calls every single service. That's where Dr. Morocco got it from. That's where I got it from. That's why we do it. Because you might not have another opportunity to get right with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Those in Kotzebue, Point Hope, wherever you are, all across this great state of Alaska, all across the nation, all across this great sanctuary. You say, that's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus for the first time. Or perhaps you want to recommit your life to him. You say, that's me. I'm going to recommit. Give your life to Jesus first time or recommit on the count of three. Slip your hand up. One, two, three. Do it right now. God bless you. God bless you. Lift your hand high. You want to be included in this prayer. Thank you for your honesty. Anybody else? Unashamed. He hung naked on a cross. You can lift your hand. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. I see that hand. Some of you are holding back. God said, I know he knows my heart. Take a step of faith. He knows my heart. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stand with me all across this place and pray this prayer with me, whether it be for the first time, recommitment, or you're just affirming your faith. Pray with me right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for my sin. I believe he rose again from the grave. And I ask you today to wash me, to cleanse me, to make me new. I'm coming to you the best way I know how. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Give me a love for your word, a love for the things of God. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for loving me. Amen. Lift your hands, a sign of universal sign of surrender, like you're getting a big gift from God. Father, with hands raised now, Holy Spirit, come and fill, touch, bless, baptize these afresh with your power. I pray visitation. I pray dreams. I pray an opening of the eyes, an opening and illumination of the heart, not in some crazy, wacko way, but in a way that's rooted and grounded in your word, that would transform lives and transform our community, would transform our nation if ever we needed you. Oh, it's now. Revival will not come from the White House. Revival comes from the church house. By the power of God, prayer, hunger for the word, transformed lives, transformed community. In the midst of the degradation of our society, bring an awakening. In the name of Jesus, if you say amen, you agree. Go ahead. Amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.